All right, I'm going to tell you how to be smarter than everybody around you. It's really easy. It's really easy. It doesn't matter if you're trying to do electrical work, plumbing work, painting, roofing work. It doesn't matter if you're trying to do computer stuff. It doesn't matter if you're trying to do accounting. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Let's use one example. Let's use... let's see. Sheetrock work. Let's use sheetrock work. And this applies, what I'm getting ready to say applies across the board, everything. So you want to put a piece of sheetrock up, right? So first of all, you got to cut it to the right measurement, right? The height or the width. You got to cut it. Then you got to pick it up and turn it. Carry it and turn it. You got to turn it to fit. It's got to be turned the right way to fit. Let's say you're doing a project where you have to cut one into little pieces. You have to, let's say you, the piece, you know, maybe you're doing a repair and it's the size of your hand, you know. So you cut it into small pieces. Then you turn it. Then you attach it with some sheetrock screws, which is what? Union. And then you can put the sheetrock mud on there and it flows. You just trowel it on, right? Electrical work. So you take you got a piece of conduit. You're gonna cut it. Carry it over there to fit it. Carry it. I guess the word carry would be a root word also. I might have to add another root word, but I'll have to look that up later. But the word carry means to weigh. The word carry itself actually means to carry a load, you know. And if you're carrying a load, you're weighed down with thoughts, right? To weigh out a matter. And the word weigh actually goes back to birthing, you know. Because a woman is carrying a child, right? That's another video. But anyway, so plumbing, whatever you got to take a piece of pipe, or a sink or whatever, you gotta cut the pipe, you gotta turn it the right way, you attach it, and then the water can flow. Doesn't matter what it is. Painting, you're painting a wall. In painting, you have to cut in the edges, right? They call it cutting in the edges, right? But you have to pierce the lid to open it, split it open with a screwdriver or something, 5-in-1 tool. Cut it. You cut in the edge, the roller, you turn it. The roller, if you're using a roller, it rolls on, it turns. And the paint is in union with the wall or the ceiling or whatever, the floor, whatever you're painting. Union. And as it's in union, you're flowing. So the brush is flowing on the wall. So it doesn't matter what you do. You know you got to cut something. You know you got to turn something. You know you got to put something together. Together to get heirs. That's what God is doing, bringing us back together with Him through Jesus by faith. You got to cut something, you got to turn something, it's got to be unioned or together or united together. And then you've got the flow, the paint flows, the plumbing, the water flows, the electricity flows. I might have to add another root word. I'll have to look it up later and check it. The word care, to weigh or to carry a load, you know. I'm not sure if that word can be unfolded to another, to the root words I just said or not, but computer programming, CAD machine, telephone work, when you're typing on the computer, those four root words are happening. Your fingers are in union with the type, with the keyboard. The word type in itself is typology, right? You're actually hitting the keyboard with your hand. So if you're hitting something, what are you trying to do? You're trying to break it, right? Break it into parts. So there's two other words there that you break stuff into parts and you carry. But I'm just trying to give you the four root that pretty much apply everywhere across the board, that no matter what you're doing, you know that if it's, no matter what you're doing, even if you're managing people, in your mind, you're breaking it into parts, cutting it. You're turning it over in your mind. Let's say you're a project manager or something. You have to break it into little parts and you turn it over in your mind, and then you get into union with it and it flows. That's the same with managing people. You break into parts, who can do what job. You're turning it over in your mind. You're writing it down on a piece of paper. You're sending an email. There's another word, send. But send kind of goes back to throw, right? To cast, to throw. You're setting a mold, you know, you're setting a pattern, actually. So when you're thinking, you're cutting the truth into parts. Rightly divide the word of truth. You're rightly dividing the Bible. You're rightly dividing 3D. You're rightly dividing life into parts. Truth. So you cut it. You turn it over in your mind. You come back. You cut it again. You turn it over in your mind. You cut it. You're trying to get down the right path. So as you go down a path to try to figure out what is the truth, you cut and you turn in your mind, and then sometimes you have to back up and say, okay, I was off there, let me go down this other path. But most people who stay in idolatry or false doctrine or whatever, they go down one path and they stay on. A legalist will go down one path, they stay in legalism, but they don't know how to get out of the trap. The Methodists go down a method trap. Tradition trap. They go down traditions and they don't know how to get out of that trap. Then there's the emotional people. They go down the emotional trap, but they don't know how to back up out of it. They're stuck in emotions. So they're either stuck in legalism, tradition, or emotions. And those things cause division. But it's unity with the body, union with Jesus, union with the body of Christ. But in order to get there, you have to have the mind of Christ. In order to get the mind of Christ, you got to turn the truth over in your mind and cut out what don't go there. Cut it out. Cut out what doesn't belong. Throw in the trash. But see, most people have stinking thinking in some areas. And so it's just like Linus with his little blanket, his little blue blanket. That's his legalism. So Linus carries around that, Charlie Brown, Linus carries around his blue blanket, and he holds on to it because that's his security blanket. And so most people have a security blanket they're not willing to let go of. That's the problem. But my mama said it and did it this way. My daddy did it this way. My pastor does it this way. My church does it this way. It must be right. Well, if it's contradicting itself, it's not right. If they're not making sense, it's not right. If the church is no longer under law, why are you going back under law? Well, I don't understand. Yeah, now you're getting there. You don't understand. Now you can understand that God is going to reveal it to you. You have to admit you don't know. That's the problem with most people. They think they already know. So when you cry out to God and he says, okay, you say, well, you say, God, I'm in the age of grace, but when I go to church, they try to put me back under law. What is going on? And he tells you to read Galatians. He tells you to read the book of Galatians. He tells you to read Romans 6, 7, and 8. The Holy Spirit leads you to 6, 7, and 8 of Romans and Galatians. And you got to stretch your mind. And so as you read Romans 6, 7, 8 and the book of Galatians, you realize that if any man preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. Why would you want to go back under the law? Why would you want to go back under the priesthood of Aaron instead of the priesthood of Melchizedek? If the law has changed, the priest class, the priesthood has changed. So now we're under a priesthood of, after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus set us free. So as you take and rightly divide the word of truth, you cut it and you turn it and you go back and forth, you ask, you seek, you knock, you beg, and you cry out to God and you say, Lord, what's going on? Then he reveals it little by little, here a little, there a little, piecemeal by piecemeal. And all the pieces face off with each other. You say, oh, I see the whole pie. It makes sense now. Now you know why people try to put you back under law. Because they don't know what walking in the Spirit is. So walking in the Spirit is not under law. Because you've been in the flesh and everybody around you and everything's under law in the flesh, under works, levels, ranks, grades, and ratings. Everything's under some kind of a rule-based thing down here in the flesh. So you can't separate. You don't know how to separate the Spirit from the flesh because all you've seen is the flesh. All you've seen is the 666 cube AI flesh mind, the old Adamic nature all around you. So it's hard for you to walk in the Spirit because you don't know what it means. And so you have to cry out to God again. And he keeps showing you. It's not by works. It's by faith. You're saved by faith. You walk by faith. And you keep on and you keep, and you finally, and it finally starts to take hold and take root. And so the spirit mind starts to take root over the flesh mind. And so when some religious person, they might even be saved, but they're in a religious denomination trying to put you back under law, and you tell them, why are you trying to put me back under a curse, man? What are you smoking? Touch not, taste not, handle not, the Bible says. Why are you trying to put me back under some kind of rule-based system, which is under the Old Testament law, which is a curse, and I'm free in Christ? Then you knock down all their arguments and they're shaking their heads, scratching their heads, saying, how does he escape all our arguments? Because it's from above, it's not from below.